The mercy to the world, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله. سبحان الله سبحان الله. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with so much. And all this comes from one beautiful place. And that is the Gumbad-e-Khazra Sharif. Dasa gal ki khazine di. Dasa gal ki khazine di. Dunya khandiye khairat madine di. Okay, what can I tell you about the treasures of the world? The world eats from this amazing treasure that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed this world with, which is located in Medina Park. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We're on a beautiful journey of the life of the mercy to the world's Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And every week, we learn something amazing. We have a new insight into this amazing life. And a quick recap, what you will remember is that we had arrived in Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had blessed this city and had gained an amazing welcome from these people, and then started to set up this riyasat in Medina, this beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Inshallah, we're going to continue from there today. But before we do, let's start with the blessing of Durood-e Pak. Who's been to Medina Munawwara? And who's had the honor and the pleasure of visiting Mount Uhud Sharif? A huge mountain, several kilometers long and wide and magnificent. And it is huge. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I love Uhud, Uhud loves me. And this is a mountain of Jannah. Now listen to this hadith in Mubarakah. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites Durood-e Pak upon you once, Allah Azza wa Jal writes one qira'at reward in his book of deeds. And one qira'at is the size of Mount Uhud. Subhanallah, what a great blessing Durood-e Pak is. Try and decorate your lives with Durood-e Pak, because it is a solution to all our problems. And one final thing about Durood-e Pak, we all go through these phases where we're upset, we get depressed, we go through difficulties. You know, and at that time, you find that nothing can soothe you. You know, a good result, eating, drinking, sleeping, resting, nothing works. Well, where nothing else works, try Durood-e Pak, because it is guaranteed to lift your spirits, enlighten you, and not only that, solve your problems as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We're going to give you the question for this week. The question is there any evidence that the beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shouldered any bayah? Is there any evidence that Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shouldered any bayah? So, that is the question. We're going to move to our beautiful kalam today. Inshallah, let's listen to this beautiful Nat-e Pak. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rok leti hai aap ki nisbat, teer jitne bhi hum pe chalte hain, ye karam hai. Ah آنے والے عذاب چلتے ہیں. کرم نہیں کرتے رہے سایہ کرم رہی دل کی دھڑکنوں میں شریک, تمہاری یاد رہی دل کی دھڑکنوں میں شریک, دل کو بنا کے میرے حرم رکھا, تم نے دل کو بنا کے میرے حرم رکھا. کرم نہیں کرتے رہے سایہ کرم کے حصے میں آئی تمام جاگیرے, اسی کے حصے میں آئی تمام جاگیرے, نبی کے عشق سے آنکھوں کو جس نے نم رکھا, نبی کے عشق سے آنکھوں کو جس نے نم رکھا. کرم نہیں کرتے رہے چھپا کے دامن رحمت میں اپنے خالد کو, چھپا کے دامن رحمت میں اپنے خالد کو, قدم قدم پہ نوازا بڑا کرم رکھا, قدم قدم پہ نوازا بڑا کرم رکھا. کرم نہیں کر
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam. You know, sometimes in life where you think somebody's watching over me, you know, things that could have potentially gone wrong have gone right for me, and things have really worked out. You know, people say that, you know, somebody's watching after me. That kalam was saying that it's the mercy of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it never left me alone, and wherever I went, I gained success, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through your watchful eyes looking over me and protecting me from calamities and from your mercy. Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam that was. We're going to move to our main segment now, inshallah, azawajal. Sallu alal habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the worst.
You'll remember last week how we covered that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions, how should we make the announcement for namaz? Now that the beautiful Masjid Nabawi Sharif has been made, and Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in the construction themselves. Subhanallah, what an amazing, amazing beloved Habib we have sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't just tell the companions to carry on, but Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built that Masjid Sharif themselves. Next time you're there, just think, my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built this place with their own merciful hands. So Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what should we do? How should we call the people? And different ideas, let's ring a bell, let's use a horn, etc., etc. And then a lot of people have the same dream. And they present it in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, I also had that dream. And somebody was teaching the words of the azan. And alhamdulillah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, teach my Bilal these beautiful words. Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala had the loudest voice. So he would then call the azan from Masjid Nabawi Sharif and the people would be mesmerized. I mean, could you just imagine that scene? And this is how it went. So, the life of Medina, wow. This was the best time on the surface of the earth. Those Muslims who had migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwarah were known as the Muhajirun, those who had emigrated. And the ones in Madinatul Munawwarah were called the Ansar, the helpers. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought these two groups together. When the Muhajirun came to Madinatul Munawwarah, you've got to remember they had nafiq. So they'd left everything behind in Makkatul Mukarramah for the sake of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they weren't upset by that. You know, today we're very attached to our worldly material possessions. You just imagine, they spent their lives in Makkah. Everything was there, their family, their wealth, their houses, their children. But yet, they gave up everything happily for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came to settle in Madinatul Munawwarah, but they had nothing. They had nothing. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was conscious of the fact that these are my muhajirun, they've left everything. So Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam dealt with them in very special ways. And today we're going to learn some of the relationships that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. You know, the Ansar were that good that when the muhajirun came, they knew that these people were very, you know, vulnerable in the sense that they had left everything, they had nothing. And so they went out of their way with hospitality and presenting to them. But the Muhajirun were well versed, they were businessmen, yet they didn't have the resources, they'd left everything behind. So by their very nature, they didn't want to burden anybody. They had high dignity and, you know, were very strong. So what Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided is to make a bond between them. So Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the Ansar and the Muhajirun together and said that you are from today brothers. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to call one Ansari and one Muhajir and say you two are brothers. And by this, and the scholars write there were about 35 to 50 of them, and he brought them together as teams, you know, two. Alhamdulillah, when we travel in the Madni Qaflas of Dawat Islami, we have this beautiful way that Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhu Aliyah has told us of having Rafiq, and you know, you pair up people, and those people kind of then do certain tasks and certain things. And, you know, from the beautiful way of Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teams up the Ansar and the Muhajir. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unites the Muslims in this strong bond of brotherhood, alhamdulillah. And the Ansar took this very, very seriously. They saw the Muhajirun as their brothers, and you would not believe the passion, the enthusiasm they had. They went back to their homes, and they split what they had into two. And they said, right, you have this half, and I will have this half. To the extent that, you know, people like, you know, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Hazrat Sayyidina Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf had come from Makkah, he was a Muhajir, and the Ansari was Hazrat Sayyidina Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He goes home, he splits everything equally. And then he says, look, I've got two wives. You tell me which one you want to marry, I will divorce her and you can marry her as well. And we'll split everything. This was their enthusiasm, their jazbah for, you know, these companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the companions themselves were something amazing. They were next level. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf replies, no, you keep everything. You know, we're very honored by your hospitality and your generousness and, you know, what you've done. But we don't want anything. He said, just show me the way to the marketplace. He requests that they do direct him to the marketplace, and he goes there, Banu Qaynuka, where he buys some butter, clarified butter, and then he goes into the cheese trade. Alhamdulillah, he starts his own business, and he goes to the market daily selling these products, and within a short time, alhamdulillah, he becomes wealthy, he buys a house, and then he gets married. He comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what mahr did you give? And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I gave a gold equal to a date stone. Subhanallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah grant you barakat. You should arrange a valima even if it is with one goat. Subhanallah. So within a short time, these amazing companions had started to establish them. And they weren't the only one. Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala started a cloth business. Other companions started different businesses. And, you know, whoever wanted to start a business, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a special prayer for Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this business that he'd started, it expanded and expanded and moved into other fields. And he became one of the wealthiest and most successful businessmen in Madinatul Munawwara. In fact, he says, because of the blessings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I was to touch sand, Allah azza wa jal would turn it into gold for me. This is how amazing the blessings were. This is what the mercy to the world did. And then, you know, at one time, 700 camels carrying his stock would come into Madinatul Munawwara. So a lot of people set up their own businesses. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu used to sell dates. And so even though the Ansar were brilliant and very brotherly and gave a lot of love and affection to the Muhajirun themselves were very dignified and very strong, and they went out and built their own businesses. And as they did, the strength of brotherhood became stronger and stronger and stronger. And you'll never find in the history of mankind any greater example of brotherhood between people. These people were amazing. They would give their lives for each other. And we were going to see that later on when it came to the battles in Islam and when it came to those difficult situations where they wouldn't even hesitate to give their life for their companions. Subhanallah. The famous historian says that the tie of brotherhood that occurred between the Ansar and the Muhajirun, yet there was such a unique bond that Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had built, that to honor this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made them into pairs. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar was made the brother of Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Talha, the brother of Sayyidina Zubair, Sayyidina Usman, the brother of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and all these extra kind of the companions were kind of working together. So after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done all of this, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is left over, and everybody's paired up and he's left alone and he's not been paired up. So he comes to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've made brothers amongst the Muhajirun and the Ansar and you've teamed them together in different ways, but you've not included me. I don't have anybody. And subhanallah, what the best of creation said brought joy to the heart and mind of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He said, Ali, you are my brother in this world and the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. How privileged was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this was the beautiful shape of Islam in Madinatul Munawwara. Now you remember the old days of persecution in Makkah, but that was behind them now. The Muslims were getting stronger and they were building these amazing relationships based on love and affection and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and loving each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, as well as the Ansar, there were many Jews who resided in Madinatul Nabra. There were three tribes in particular, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. And they lived on the outskirts of the city and had strong defensive forts. There had been a little tension between them and the Ansar previously, and a lot of confrontations between them had persisted and were carrying on even at the time when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed Madinatul Nabra. So, and the two tribes of Aus and Khazraj at that time were extremely weak. And the reason they were weak was they'd been battling each other for decades and killing each other. And the Battle of Busa was one particular battle where they both lost a lot of men. And so this meant that they were weak. But one of the things that the Jews of the time did was that they constantly ensured that these two tribes keep fighting each other. And they created fitna between them to ensure that they fought and they lost their powers and so that they could be dominant. So when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the potential dangers. And with the amazing wisdom of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invited both parties and wrote down a document outlining an agreement between them. And both parties agreed, the Aus and Khazraj, and the Jews of Medina, they agreed to be bound by these. And the key terms were this, that payment of diya, a monetary compensation for murder victims to the victim's family, fidya, ransom to release war prisoners, the Jews shall continue to have religious freedom with no interference in their religious practices, the Jews and Muslims shall keep a cordial relationships with each other. If one party is attacked, the other shall assist in fighting the enemy. If the city of Medina is attacked, both shall defend and protect it. No one shall assist the kuffar of Quraysh or its supporters. And if one party makes truce with an enemy, the other shall also be bound by it. And this applied only to political wars and not religious ones. It's a beautiful agreement that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made through them to have peace in the lands. And that was the intention. And the Ansar were very happy with this. But unfortunately, it didn't take long for the Jews to start to break this agreement. They met with Munafiqun of Madinatul Munawwara and even the Quraysh that the treaty forbid them from meeting. And all of them came together with one desire and one wish, to destroy Islam. Now, many of the Muhajirun, when they came to Madinatul Munawwara, because the climate was different to Makkatul Mukarramah. Those of you who've been had the honor and the privilege of going to Madinatul Munawwara, it's a bit colder and there's a different environment. And so they started to become ill. The water was different, the environment was different, and some diseases started to spread to the extent that Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu became quite feverishly ill. And during his fever, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had memories of Makkatul Mukarramah, beautiful memories. And so he started to praise the greenery and the mountains, and then started to curse the disbelievers and started to kind of be a little upset that we had to leave Makkatul Mukarramah. Upon hearing this, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very special dua. And that dua is still true today. Let me share it with you. O Allah, make Medina as beloved to us as Makkah, or more so, free it from sickness, grant blessings in its trade, and expel the sickness from it to Al-Juhfa. Subhanallah. And today, you know, whoever goes to the Arab Sharif cannot wait to get to Madinatul Munawwara, cannot wait to get to the city of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is how amazing this place is. Now, Islam was starting to build a very strong foundation in Madinatul Munawwara. But I'm going to share with you another story, and an amazing story. Because like I said at the beginning, this wasn't that, you know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed the earth and then the people started to come to Islam and then gradually Islam grew. This was an event that everybody had been waiting for since the creation of the universe. You remember we said in our early episodes that, you know, the Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam gave glad tidings of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Sayyidina Shith alayhi salam, Hazrat Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, great walis of Allah azza wa jal, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the prophets, you know, and everybody was talking about this arrival of the last and final messenger. So amongst the scholars and the learned and people of religion, it was well known that there's going to come a time when this blessed and beautiful Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to bless the earth. So there's a man, and his origins were Persian, and his forefathers were fire worshippers and lived in Persia. And even though he was from a wealthy family, he never engaged in any of this. And he always sought the truth. He wanted to find the true religion. So he left his home in search of the truth. He gives up everything, the palaces, the luxuries of life, and goes in the way of Allah in search for the truth. He goes to different places, the churches, you know, and other places of worship, trying to find the truth. He spends time with priests, scholars, rabbis, everybody else, and he's trying to get to the bottom of the true religion. Unfortunately, on this amazing journey of his in trying to search for the truth, he gets captured by bandits, and they enslave him. But he's not bothered because he's on a mission. He's trying to find, you know, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the true religion. He gets sold on the marketplaces, he gets sent to different people, and eventually, after having been sold many times, in his last sale, he gets sold to somebody from Madinatul Munawwarah. Subhanallah. What a destiny, what a kismet. He arrives in Madinatul Munawwarah, and he starts working in the orchards of a man. One day, and he's waiting, and he's contemplating, and he's thinking, and one day, somebody comes into the orchard and says to the owner of the orchard, he says that, and the owner's a Christian, he says, you know, don't you know about somebody who's come from Makkah to Medina, and he claims to be a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's amazing, etc., etc. And this person, he overhears this. He comes down from his ladder or whatever he was on, because it was an orchard of grapes. He then goes to the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he knows from his time that he'd spent with different priests, different scholars, that the last and final messenger of Allah azza wa jal was going to bless these lands. And so he was very happy that I am in that place and this may be that last and final messenger, but I need to check. And what he'd been given was some checks. And one of the things that he'd been taught was that prophets do not accept sadaqah. So if you give a prophet sadaqah, they will pass it on to the poor, but they will not take anything from it. Prophets will gladly accept gifts. You give them a gift, they will gladly accept it. And finally, the last and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal will have a seal of prophethood between his shoulders. So, this amazing person who'd spent his life looking for the truth in search of that last and final messenger, he comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was he? Let me tell you. Hazrat Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, an amazing companion. He comes, he presents some dates saying, these are for charity, sadaqah. The Messenger of Allah replies, take the dates and distribute them amongst the poor of Al-Madinah, as I do not eat from what is sadaqah. He thinks, wow, that's the first sign. That's definitely, you know, this could be that person I've been looking for all my life. The following day he comes back. He presents some more dates. But this time, he says, these are a gift. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them to the companions and eat themselves as well. So he's thinking, two out of the three conditions are now satisfied. Now the third condition, but how can I say to this amazing personality who's so beautiful that I want to check the seal of prophethood between your shoulders? So he says, I started to walk around and hang around them, and I'm walking, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with companions walking in front of me. And then suddenly, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turn, remove their shawl mubarak and say, Salman, take a look at what you want to look at. Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the knowledge of the unseen. And he knew what was in the heart of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes up and kisses the Muhri Nubuwwat and falls to the feet of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, these are the signs of the last and final messenger that were mentioned in the Torah and the Injil. And he immediately embraces Islam. Subhanallah. These people, and it wasn't just, you know, Hazrat Bilal Kamal from Abyssinia, it wasn't just Hazrat Salman Farsi from Persia. These people came from all angles. You know, in the last sermon, there were approximately 124,000 companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they had found the truth. And you know, where you have an amazing white light and you have everything attracted to it. In the jungle, if you went and lit a light, everything would come out towards it. And all the beautiful, you know, creations of Allah Azza wa Jal. Well, very similarly, just as an example, I tell you, when the light of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shone, all these beautiful characters from all over the world came to the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, it's the first year after Hijrah. Originally, the Muslims were praying two rakats for every namaz. But it was in this first year that the order was revealed, the command came, that for Zuhr, Asr and Isha, it will be four rakat fard. And so these were increased. But if you were on a journey, they remained two. Sometimes we think when you're on journey, it's qasr, they're reduced to two. Well, in the original era, it was actually just two rakat, and then they were increased to four. Now, this is the first year after Hijrah, and you know, Islam is spreading well and everything's going well, but suddenly sorrow strikes. Three famous personalities of Islam pass away in this first year after Hijrah. The companion has Sayyidina Khuldum ibn al-Hadim. You remember, he was the one who you know, was the host of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Quba Sharif. He was an amazing devotee of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had the honor and privilege of serving Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stayed with the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passes away and it brings sorrow to the Muslims. Then Sayyidina Barah al-Ansari, they pass away as well, and you know, this upsets the Muslims. And then thirdly, followed in quick succession, with Hazrat Sayyidina Asad ibn Zurayra al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was one of those who was one of the original people from Medina. You remember when we talked about it a few weeks ago, where they were coming to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mina Sharif and taking bay and going back and preaching the deen in Madinatul Munawwarah. He was one of those early companions. So again, it was heartbreaking to see him depart from this world. Now, when these three noble companions passed away, the Jews and the hypocrites of Medina expressed joy and began to taunt the Messenger of Allah, saying, look, if he was truly a prophet, why would Allah bring such sorrow upon him? But Allah works in brilliant ways. So some of their famous, you know, and very strong leaders passed away in the same year. And so that balanced the picture. So, you know, they were taunting the Muslims and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, if you were really a prophet, why are your companions dying? And Allah showed them that this death comes to everybody. And their, you know, strong leaders started to pass away as well. It's been reported, when their leaders started to pass away, they became extremely restless and, you know, didn't know what to do. This continued in their fitna, in their deceptions, and they tried to sway the Muslims away, they tried to create difficulty for the Muslims. But, alhamdulillah, these beautiful companions stayed steadfast in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And gradually, those who had the best of hearts started to see the beauty of Islam, started to see the beauty of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their eyes opened and they gradually started to come into the fold of Islam. So even those who were staunch enemies of Islam started to accept, but only those whom Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed. Just an example of some of the tricks that the people used. They used to taunt the Muslims, they used to talk about them in the wrong way. And when the Muslims, Muhajirun, had arrived, some of them had family, but after they'd arrived, in Madinatul Munawwara for many, many months. No child was born. And so this gave the hypocrites and the Jews another attack. They started to taunt them, saying, well, you've been bewitched. We are making sure through our black magic or whatever that you are not going to have children. But then Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Hazrat Sayyidina, after his birth, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, was blessed and was born as a child to the first Muhajirun child, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And so this put an end to that. But it gives you an insight into the level of kind of difficulties that they were creating. Then we move to the second year of Hijrat. For as long as the Messenger of Allah was in Makkah Park, he was ordered to pray towards the Holy Kaaba in Makkah. But when Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, the command came to face Baytul Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa. Baytul Maqdis then remained the Qibla of the Muslims for 16 to 17 months. And all of this time, the Jews of Medina would taunt the Muslims and say, well, how can he be a prophet? He's facing towards our Qibla. He hasn't even got his own Qibla, etc. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quietly listened to these taunts, but would time and time again look towards the sky for revelations, because revelations descended, look towards the sky for revelation, and then eventually, one day, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a masjid and was praying, it was time for Zuhr Salah. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading the congregation. The companions are behind Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Jibreel Amin arrive with this ayat. We observe you turning your face to the heavens, so we will assuredly make you turn for prayer towards a Qibla which pleases you. Therefore now turn your face towards the sacred mosque. Allah Azza wa Jal had accepted that desire that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's all it was. It was a desire in the heart of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, had such amazing blessings for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and such love that Allah Azza wa Jal said, if my Habib desires it, then it will happen. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Muslims to turn their face towards Makkah Park and Qibla Kaaba. Now, at this point, there was some very, very interesting things to pick up from this ayah mubarakah and the other ayah mubarakahs that appear with it. First of all, look at how Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the glorious Quran the beautiful face of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the command was simply you can turn from Baytul Maqdis to Makkatul Mukarramah, Kaaba, as your Qibla. That was it. But that's not what it says. A lot of people, they take this ayah mubarakah and they say, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that turn from Masjid al-Aqsa to the Kaaba and pray towards that direction. That's not what it says. Let me read it to you again, because hidden in this ayah mubarakah is amazing, amazing status of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, we observe you turning your face to the heavens. So first of all, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the lift, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Jahra Mubarak lifting up to the heavens to see, you know, the look at the V, whether it's coming or not. Look at the revelation. And that is mentioned in the Quran. This is the amount of love that Allah Azza wa Jal has for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the honor and respect that Allah Azza wa Jal gave, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the glorious Quran. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. You know, the beautiful face of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the glorious Quran. You know, you could say there was no need for that, but Allah Azza wa Jal clearly put that there for a special reason, to show the world the status of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What it actually says is this: so we will assuredly make you turn for prayer towards a Qibla which pleases you. Subhanallah. So Allah didn't say turn towards the Kaaba. He said turn towards the way that you want to turn. Whatever pleases you, I am happy with it. Why? Because Allah is free from time, space, direction, and everything else. This is just a simile, because we are human beings. We live in a dimensional world, and we have to face certain ways. So we have to face some way to pray. So whether it's Baitul Maqdis or the Kaaba, we get direction. And it was the Kaaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to turn their face, Mubarak, towards Masjid al-Aqsa. It became Masjid al-Aqsa for 16, 17 months. And now Allah is commanding to turn, but where? Wherever the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with. Whichever direction Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to prostrate this, to worship Allah said, Habib, you choose whatever you want. Look at the amazing status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously the desire in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart, Mubarak, was for the Kaaba in Makkah, and so that's what became the Qibla. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And look at, you know, this is how our scholars have dissected these ayats and then said, this is why we say, wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho to kuch na ho, jaan hai wo jahan ki, jaan hai to jahan hai. You know, do alam chahta, you know, khuda ki raza chahta hai do alam, khuda chahta hai raza-e Muhammad. All of us, we look for the, you know, the, what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. Like, look at this ayat. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, my Habib, you tell me what you want. We will do that. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. In this, after this ayah Mubarakah as well, there was some more beautiful madni pearls as well. Because what Allah Azza wa Jal said was something amazing. Let me read to you Surah Baqarah Sharif, ayat number 143. And O beloved, we had appointed the Qibla which you formerly observed only to see, test, who follows the noble messenger and who turns away. And it was indeed hard except for those whom Allah guided. Now here, there's a very important and very subtle point. The companions are behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying in the masjid, in the direction of Baitul Maqdis. The command comes in between the salah, two rakats have been prayed to a left. Now, even if you say in the local mosque, you want to change the time, you have to tell people in advance. You have to tell them, you know, a day before, but at least a namaz before. So it could have been that, okay, let's complete this namaz, and then the next namaz, we will read facing the other way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, the command said now, do it, change. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scholars write, went from one side, and for those of you who've been to Masjid al-Qiblatain in Madinatul Munawwara, the one mihrab facing towards Baitul Maqdis is in that direction, and the other one is in totally the opposite direction towards the Holy Kaaba. Right? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scholars write, changed from that direction, came through the safs of the companions, all the way to the other side, and started to, continued the namaz on the other side. And what the Quran says is, for the companions, this was a great test. And the test was, that did they stick to the Qibla that they were told? Because they were told it's Baitul Maqdis. They haven't been told that it's Holy Kaaba yet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows, because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has received the revelation. But Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't told them yet, because they're in Salah. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crosses the safs, tears through the safs, comes to the other side. The companions, what did they do? Do they follow that, you know, the Qibla, Baitul Maqdis, and just ignore, na'uzubillah, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has just done? Or do they turn and follow the beloved Habib? Now what the Quran says is, this was a test for them and the wider people as well. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to show them, don't start following these directions and simats and this and that. You don't need to be concerned with that. You need to be concerned with this beloved that's in front of you. You follow him and you will be successful. You start to deviate and follow the directions and this and that and the rules and you will be destroyed. And listen to this ayat again. Ayat 143. And O beloved, we had appointed the Qibla which you formerly observed, and only to see, test, who followed the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who turned away. And it was indeed hard, except for those whom Allah guided. And beshak, Allah Azza wa Jalla guided the beautiful companion. They thought to themselves, what relationship have we got with Qibla, Kaaba, Baitul Maqdis? We don't. All we have a relationship with is this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of us. So whichever direction this beloved Habib takes, we will also take it. Allah azza wa jal had given his Habib the power to say, "Ya, oh my beloved Habib, any direction you want to face, whatever pleases you, you face that direction." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed direction, and the companion said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are we to, you know, appoint our own directions? Who are we to decide which way we face the prayer? We are behind you all the way." And they turned without any questioning during namaz, and subhanallah, Allah azza wa jal was pleased with their actions and said that they had passed their test. Subhanallah. Now, as soon as this happens, you again got the hypocrites and the Jews, and they're saying, "Hang on a minute, what has turned these Muslims from their Qibla? Why are they doing this now? This Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know what he's doing. One minute he's facing one way, then the next minute he's facing the other." So Allah azza wa jal then replied to this. Ayat number 142, Surah Baqarah. "Now the foolish will say, what has turned the Muslims away from the Qibla which they formerly observed? Proclaim, to Allah belongs the East and the West. He guides whomsoever He wills upon the straight path." Subhanallah. So Allah azza wa jal said, look, these are foolish people. Ignore what they're saying. You know, this is one of those very special moments of love and affection. Allah azza wa jal is showering His mercies upon the blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The blessed Habib in the love of the Kaaba wants to turn that way and is waiting for the command of his Lord. Allah azza wa jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is blessing his beloved Habib and saying, "You turn whichever direction you want to pray in." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns, and the blessed companions say, "Who are we to decide? Just follow the beloved and you will be successful." And so anybody else, Allah azza wa jal says, these are the foolish ones. Subhanallah. What an amazing event in the second year after Hijrah. So, you know, this Ayah Mubarakah answered all the questions. And this the first Ayah Mubarakah that I read in relation to the beautiful companions, it showed how strong they were. You know, this verse reveals that the wisdom of changing the Kaaba, and it mentions the wisdom, and what the scholars write is this, that in this, because when they get to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded to face Baitul Maqdis, and then within 16-17 months, the hukum comes that, "Ya Habib, you can pray towards the Kaaba," which is the desire of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But why did this happen? And the scholars write that actually it was like sifting through and getting rid of the impurities. So what happened is that the munafiqun were exposed, and all those with, you know, very weak or no iman were exposed, and they became apostates. They became murtad. They turned away from Islam because of the changing of the Qibla. And the scholars write that this is what Allah azza wa jal wanted, because in that group in Medina, Allah azza wa jal wanted the pure and the best and the courageous and the brave and the magnificent and the loving and the daring and the caring around his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't want all these half-hearted ones. So this was actually a master plan by Allah azza wa jal, that when they arrived in Medina, don't pray back towards Makkah. Pray to the Kaaba. Now pray towards Baitul Maqdis. So Baitul Maqdis is built up over 16 months, and then the command comes, yes, pray towards that direction, beloved Habib, you want to pray towards. And the munafiqun fell by the sides, and all the impurities were taken out. And alhamdulillah, what the scholars write is this left the true devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This left the sincere believers. This left the steadfast ones. This left those who would obey Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come what may. And this was the test that they, the blessed companions, succeeded in. They didn't once ask the question from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, who are we to ask questions? You know, how can we ask? Just follow and blindly follow. And when you blindly follow the best of creation, there is only one destination, and that is Jannah. That is Jannah. That is Jannah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I'm conscious of time. Alhamdulillah, we've had some beautiful, you know, stories today. I wanted to go on to certain battles, because, you know, Islam isn't a pacifist religion. Islam, in certain conditions, certain pretexts, allows wars. And, you know, in the early days of Islam, there was no permission for Muslims to conduct wars. They were tortured, persecuted, but they never hurt anybody. They still gave the caring face. But there came a time when Allah allowed Muslims to first defend themselves when they were attacked. And then there came a time when Allah allowed the Muslims to deal with fitnas, deceptions, disorder in the land, even before it occurred, while at the planning stage, through certain battles. And so this isn't an argument about, you know, Islam being a pacifistic religion. You know, Islam did allow battles to take place, but those battles were solely for one thing: to order the land and to bring about a change. You know, you look at the olden empires, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Mongols, and everybody else, and they would go into cities and towns and kill, rape, murder, and completely ransack the place. And then compare that to the Muslim conquest. And even today, 1450 years later, you've got scholars from universities saying, wow, these people used to march into cities, and they used to say, the first thing is we're going to be protecting all the children, all the women, all the elderly, and we're not going to seize anybody's land. Everybody's got the right to practice their religion. Everybody's got the right over their properties. And they used to leave, you know, those who were in charge, used to replace the higher hierarchy, but leave everybody else and leave life as normal. You know, when the Persian Empire, I think it was, or the Roman Empire, they used to march into towns. And they used to, what they used to do is 3 million people. They used to kill 1 million. They used to enslave the other million. And then ask the last million, what do you want us to do with you? And these people were petrified. This was their MO. The Mongols, wherever they went, they just completely ransacked places and killed everything in sight. They were barbaric. They were animals. And yet when the Muslims walked in and did this, people were scratching their heads. They were like, hang on a minute. We've seen hundreds of years of history where a power comes in and the first thing they want to do is, you know, kill, loot, rape, everything else. Who are these people who come in with a smile on their face, who come in to our towns and say, you can keep your land, you can carry on with your businesses, we don't want your businesses, we're just going to have certain tax rules and you can carry on and we'll protect you. Who are these people? And the companions would reply, but we are the servants of the beloved Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal, who when he conquered Makkah, he conquered without a drop of blood. This is who we are. And they showed the world how they should, everybody should behave. But inshallah, we're going to deal with a series of expeditions and battles on the next week's program. Some very interesting ones, some ghazawat and sirai that I'll go through very briefly in relation to just getting an idea of what was happening at the time. Because a lot of times the Muslim army marched out, but then there was no battle. And sometimes there was a battle where Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part as well. What the context of those were, why they happened, and what they achieved, inshallah, we'll go through next week. We've only got a few minutes left. We're going to move to our next section, Easy Good Deeds. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The mercy to the worst.
Now, we were talking about the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What the scholars write is this, that if you want to protect yourself from calamities, difficulties and everything else, what you should learn is to do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Keep your tongue moist with the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla all the time. This gives you protection. There was a famous story where there was a young girl who was listening to her father, who was an imam in the masjid. And one day he said that, you know, the only time that people get trapped in difficulties and calamities and depression and everything else is when they are ignorant of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, they forget about the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they concentrate on their worldly things. Then they fall into difficulties. If a person is busy in the remembrance of Allah, then alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla protects him. So they do the bayan, their young daughter's listening. And then a few days later, they go to catch fish. And they're in a little boat, and the imam starts catching fish and handing them to the girl, and she is putting them into a bag or something. So they spend most of the day catching fish, and in the evening, when they finish, Imam Saab picks up the bag, and it's empty. He says, Bitty, oh my daughter, where are the fish that I've been catching all day? She says, oh my father, I'll let them go. He says, what? I've been sat here all day catching fish so that we could eat, and you've let them all go. Bitty, can I ask, why have you done such a thing? And she says, well, Abhaji, I heard you say from the masjid that the only time that things get trapped in a net, get trapped in difficulties, is when they forget the remembrance of Allah. So I concluded that the only reason that you'd managed to catch these fish was these were fish that had forgot to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And I thought, my father spends all his day doing zikr of Allah, doing masjid work, doing everything else. And I thought, I don't want to give him a fish that has been ignorant of the rights of Allah, has forgot about the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what I want to do is actually let them go. So that's why I let them go. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful story that is. This is the essence. This is what zikr does. It protects you. Let me give you a couple of zikrs before I go. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever in the morning and the evening says 100 times, SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi, on the day of judgment, it is the most precious thing that he will have in his book of deeds. Whoever in the morning recites this, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will grab him by the hand and I will take him into Jannah. SubhanAllah. So every morning, let me read it to you. Raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya. I'm happy with Allah as my Lord, with Islam as my religion, and with this beautiful Habib Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Prophet. If you read this in the morning, then alhamdulillah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will take you by the hand and lead you into Jannah. I'm going to give you the answer to today's question. So the answer to today's question is that the question was that did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shoulder anybody's coffin, anybody's bier? That yes, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala, what a lucky companion he was. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.